And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Nerdy Notions as we are near the end of WandaVision.
I'm not ready.
And there's Sasha. Just hop into it.
Hi, I'm Sasha Kaplan. Welcome.
She's hyperventilating.
I'm in the process of recovery over the good, the bad, the complicated, the questions answered, more questions still left to be unanswered, this crazy web, pun unintended. You know what? Screw it, pun intended. Of everything that is WandaVision and all of these shenanigans, and I don't even know where to start. Well, let's start with what I am dubbing Michael's Marvel moment. I just came up with that in my head. I'm so clever. Hey, Marvel loves alliteration. So there you go. It's Michael's Marvel moment. And in this moment, Michael will let us know some of the latest news regarding some MCU updates. And I will comment my thoughts on those updates.
So they announced when season one of Loki will begin. And it's going to debut a week after Falcon Winter Soldier ends. So it's going to be just like how it is with WandaVision going into Falcon Winter Soldier. So then Falcon Winter Soldier will end, get a week off, go into Loki. And I, like we were talking about before we hit the record button, this probably is the template of how they're going to do the MCU shows. Like they'll do one series, take a week off when that series is over, go into the next one and just kind of go that way.
It kind of makes sense because based on everything that's been happening in WandaVision and what I'm going to guess is happening in Falcon and Winter Soldier and all of the craziness that Loki is going to be, we need a break in between these. Like,
yeah. And then he got his homecoming and then he went far from home. But poor Spider-Man.
No. Hold on. Yeah. Homecoming, far from home. And then.
But poor Spider-Man has no way home.
What I think is hilarious, though, is
you completely killed my pun run.
I'm so sorry. I was going to jump in with homewrecker comment. But here's the funny thing is they set this up really well as like a lead up into the announcement of the actual title, because the actors who play Spider-Man, MJ and Ned actually each posted on Instagram the same photo of the cast together in like a cavern of a castle or something like that. But then they each also had a different Spider-Man home-related title. What was it? It was Spider-Man Homewrecker, Spider-Man Home Slice, and Spider-Man Phone Home. I think Phone Home was the most interesting lead-in, and I decided to come up with like just a random list. And I'd like to admit that Spider-Man No Way, I can admit actually, because it's public, it's on Tumblr, that Spider-Man No Way Home was actually on that list. So I feel pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, and then this is more rumor mill talk, but they're going to be doing a Captain America 4, which will focus primarily on Sam, and potentially Chris Evans will be part of that film, most likely funeral-wise, you know, deathbed stuff, kind of like what we saw in, what was it, I believe Winter Soldier or Civil War with Peggy.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, something doesn't add up here. Because the entire thing of Captain America Winter Soldier seems to be about wrapping up the story of Zemo while also cementing...
No, Zemo Sam. Was Civil War.
I know, I'm talking about Falcon the Winter Soldier.
Oh, where Falcon Zemo Winter Soldier.
Okay. Would you let me finish? As I was saying, so Zemo is going to be in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Following this, all of these little random notifications. Let me turn that off. But the idea is that if Zemo and the story of who's going to be Captain America is going to be explored in Falcon and Winter Soldier, does this mean Captain America is going to be the trial of Captain America? Because I'm trying to think of like I'm not super familiar with Sam's run as Captain America to know what the plot could be. But you pitched the death of Captain America, which doesn't quite make sense to me because you're already dealing with the legacy of Cap left behind, or that Steve left behind, I should say, in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I'm theorizing because everything right now is still in rumors.
Yeah, I could see them do the trial of Captain America. Also, Marvel, if you happen to be listening, I'm just saying I would make a really great Bernie Rosenthal. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I can pass for a cute Jewish lawyer. Come on. I have two of those down already. And I've seen enough like episodes of like every single legal show in existence to fake it till I make it. And I have an excellent memory for memorizing lines. So
Or if I've been hit in the head one too many times playing hockey.
there you go.
Yeah.
I'm just fabulous and adorable and Jewish, and I'd like to play Bernie Rosenthal. See, like I'm very easy to please. Like I don't even ask to play a superhero, unless you know they're casting for Kitty Pryde. But anyway, all of that being said, I think after WandaVision ends next week with what is seemingly going to be a double feature ending of either, I think it's based on what the official WandaVision Twitter posted, that they said there are two episodes left.
Well,
Now
see,
we know that
here's the
next.
thing. I'm reading the tweet right now. It says only two episodes left. The eighth episode of Marvel Studios' WandaVision is now streaming on Disney Plus. So I'm assuming what they're stating is that this episode that dropped today is one of the two episodes
No,
left.
it's not. No, it's not. Because if I remember correctly, Falcon and Winter Soldier premieres on the 19th, right?
Yes, but the 12th is going to be a behind the scenes special on WandaVision. It is not an actual episode of the show.
So that means the finale, then it probably is a two episode finale, unless they're counting the finale, that the special as an episode of WandaVision.
Yeah, because they had announced that the week in between WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier that they're going to do a behind the scenes, kind of like what they do with The Mandalorian, where they do like that pull the curtain back type episode.
I got that. I still think it could. So that means next week, if there are two episodes officially of WandaVision, episode 9 and 10, we're either going to get both episodes on the 5th, or Marvel's just going to release this a longer episode up to like an hour and a half or something like that.
And I'm guessing it's the long episode because the reality is that according to IMDb, who actually has the full thing, they just can't release everything in one shot per like agreements and stuff. They only have nine episodes listed on the IMDb.
Then that's a very weird thing the Twitter account did, because I'm not counting behind the scenes if it's called something else, if it's not part of, like, anyway, just like Marvel Legends is separate from, WandaVision and everything. Alrighty. Well, all like I don't care if it's two episodes of one or one at this point. I just want it to be a really long episode. Like, I really enjoyed the length of this episode. I think we got
Which
it
was the
worked.
longest of the, this was the longest episode of all of
Clocking
them.
in at 47 minutes, just about. So let's get into this. We get another rehash of what happened to Wanda in the MCU, literally and figuratively, but we actually open in Salem, Massachusetts, in a little year called 1693. What happened during this period in Salem, Michael?
The Salem Witch Trials.
That's right. And do you know how many women were burned at the stake at Salem?
Not off the top of my head, but quite a few.
Yes. Wrong. Zero. Zip. Nada. Not a single person was burned at the stake in Salem. They were all hanged, and one guy was pressed to death. So, that being said, the scene opens with two people, hooded figures, dragging what is very clearly a younger looking Agatha Harkness. Towards the this perch, the stake where she'll be burned. And my first reaction is like, oh God, do not do the Salem witch trials people being burned at the stake. But they do a really nice twist because they made me think that. And I was ready to pull the whole, there's no burning of witches in Salem shtick. But she's tied up magically. And it turns out that Agatha has betrayed her mother and her coven by getting involved with dark magic. What's interesting here is that their magic is blue. And we see that Agatha's mother, who is not named other than Mom, is wearing the same pendant that we see Agatha wearing throughout the series. So they're trying to kill her, and then it doesn't work. They like shoot their energy because they're going to punish her for using dark magic and breaking the what was it, the like coven's principles or whatever. And she's like, I didn't do it. The magic just worked for me. And as they shoot their magic at her, it transforms into this purplish energy.
And it should be noted that the mother's name in the credits is Evanora Harkness.
Okay. I'm sure that's important somewhere. Everyone is killed, or correction, it's sort of like their life force is sucked away and they end up like little sucked out corpses. And Agatha, essentially like Agatha killed them all, whether consciously or subconsciously. And she takes the pendant from her mother. Wanda, meanwhile, we find out, cannot read Agatha's mind. And she's like, no. Doesn't work that way. And we find out that Wanda's magic, and this is actually the first time we've heard it be referred to as magic, doesn't work because of the spells that Agatha cast to, I guess, protect this totally not Sanctum Sanctorum or whatever. And only the witch that cast these ruins can use her magic inside the building or whatever. Okay. So Agatha says we have work to do. And Wanda's logical question, which was the same question I was asking the latter half of last week's episode, is where are the twins? And Agatha actually makes a crack about Wanda's accent reappearing. And then she sort of like, oh, don't worry, your kids are somewhere in here. I have them right now. But what's interesting is that Agatha gives us kind of like a tutorial on witchcraft. And she's talking about like all these different spells that she's cast. And Wanda's looking at her like she's a with this like deer in the headlights look, because Wanda has no idea what she's talking about. Basically, Wanda doesn't know jack about magic or the fundamentals of magic. And Agatha is very frustrated because it has taken her years and years to study magic. But Wanda seems to be doing it naturally, which is hilarious and complicated and hilarious. My brother made a joke about like a warlock something D&D. If you guys know that reference of like the warlock or the wizard something being angry that he doesn't something, I don't know. But basically, Agatha was waiting for Wanda to show her true power. She even brought in Pietro, or as she said, Fietro. And what's interesting here is that she says it wasn't necromancy because, you know, she couldn't get Pietro's real body. She said it was something like crystallic possession or something like that, where it's like basically a puppet. I think, do I have a note on that? But yeah, there's a lot of things that are, it's really funny watching Agatha sort of get annoyed because Wanda has no clue what she's talking about. So she shows the fly that we saw earlier that everybody's like, oh my God, the fly's Mephisto. Yeah, Mephisto's now rabbit food. So that was hilarious. And as soon as she sent that fly into the rabbit's mouth, which like rabbits don't eat bugs, do they?
That was not a fly. That was a cicada.
Whatever. The bug is now rabbit food. But rabbits don't eat, rabbits are herbivores, so they don't really eat bugs, which is also funny enough. She talks to the rabbit and the rabbit allegedly talks back. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing or not in the last episode.
I've read rumors that that could be like her son or something like that.
I also made that comment when last episode, because Senior Scratchy and her son's last name is Scratch, so it's not far off, but it's interesting. It's very interesting. Anyway, but yeah, so as soon as the fly hits the rabbit's mouth, I'm like, yep, there's Mephisto. to be honest, like y'all, if you still think Mephisto's showing up, he ain't, he's not, it's not happening. We are still set to get another cameo.
We'll get to that in a moment because I was reading something very interesting, but we'll wait till we do the end of the episode.
Well, so. Why don't you tell me your impressions of Agatha in this moment where she's showing Wanda her magic. It's like, this is transmutation. This is blah, 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 blah.
It was just magic for me. That's really all. I have no real comment. It was just like, okay, she's a witch. She's got powers and she pretty much took all the witches. I didn't put as much of a pressing need into her powers. It's kind of like your standard witch powers, maybe a little bit more powerful in some cases.
We'll get to sort of understanding what that is, but it's just funny how she's like, how did you not know these things? I studied for centuries. And Wanda's like, yep, I just did it. But anyway, Agatha was drawn to the anomaly that essentially Wanda created and the magic within it. And she says that Wanda is a natural. So Agatha wants to know how she did it. And Wanda, to be honest, doesn't really seem to have a clue. So Agatha decides to take Wanda on a preemptive therapy session / go down memory lane. And to be honest, I would not want Agatha as a therapist because I feel like half the time she's like, let's go through your past. And then after you go through your past, buck up, buttercup, good to go. So do not invest in Agatha Harkness for your therapy needs. Meanwhile, so they go through this door and Wanda at first doesn't want to go. And Agatha's like, well, I got your kids, so you kind of have to go. And we hear Billy and Tommy screaming, oh God, please don't hurt them. And so the first place we go to is a very Cold War-esque former Soviet style apartment. And to be honest, it did bring back some memories, even though it's not a direct thing, but I gotta hand it to this little, we see Wanda's mom and she is greeting Wanda's dad. And I refuse to call them by their actual names because I'm still waiting for Marvel to explain to me where they pulled these names out of. Like, I feel like they just dropped a whole bunch of like Serbian and Eastern European and like former Soviet Republic names into a hat. And it just pulled out the two that sounded cool. Because there is literally zero connection as far as I can find between Wanda Maximoff and characters named Oleg and Irina. So Wanda's dad brought a whole bunch of bootleg DVDs. Apparently, and it's
they didn't look rights. They didn't look bootleg, they looked legit
bootleg, which is in anyway. So he brought all of these DVDs and they're gonna watch it, but it's apparently Wanda's turn to pick, and she picks the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I think we talked in the first episode that the kitchen in the Dick Van Dyke Show is replicated in WandaVision almost tit for tat, so really well done to the production team. And they, what's interesting is they actually start speaking, I think it's like Serbian, and then it switches to English so the kids can practice their English. Kudos to mom, you know, Wanda's parents for teaching the kids English and everything. And so they switch to English and they're going to watch this one episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's very cute, very sweet family moment. And what's important is that Wanda, the adult Wanda, actually sort of takes on the role of her younger self here. What's also interesting, and this is really weird, but the kid playing little Wanda legit looks like I did in first grade. The freckles, the long, straight, dark brown hair. These days, if my hair is like long enough to put in a ponytail, it needs to be chopped off. But yeah, I had like hair down to like my butt in first grade.
So interesting, yeah. Note about the young actress who played young Wanda. Her name is Michaela Russell.
Yep.
She had actually previously been in the MCU earlier. She was the stand-in for young Evangeline Lilly's character in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like when they're doing like the stuff when she was a child.
Yeah.
She was the stand-in.
Yep. So. Yeah, I had a little bit of like, wow, this kid kind of looks like I did in first grade. That's kind of cool. So then there's a crash and a Stark bomb lands, killing the parents in the crash, and Wanda and Pietro are protected and hung under the bed. And the bomb, as we know from Age of Ultron, does not go off. But what's interesting here is that actually Agatha makes the implication that Wanda is the one that used, how did she call it? Probability magic, a probability hex, to prevent the bomb from going off subconsciously. So this is actually very interesting. So then we go to our next spot, which is, you know, the Hydra Lab, where Wanda is basically told to, hey, please touch the stick that's killed everybody else. I'm sure it'll work for you too. And I'll give it to the Hydra, to the one of the Hydra guys who's basically like, you know, every single test subject has kind of died. Maybe we should try something else. And the other Hydra guy's like, nope, we're just going to keep going. So they tell her to touch the Mind Stone, but she doesn't do it. The staff this blue thing inside Loki's staff sort of floats to her, and then as she touches it, it explodes into this yellow, into the yellow Mind Stone. But what's weird, first of all, is why couldn't they give her shoes? Like, why did she have to come in barefoot? That's a little weird. But anyway, the Mind Stone clearly seems to be attracted to her for whatever reason. And then as it explodes and we see the Mind Stone, we see Wanda's reaction to it, and then it pivots and we see this outline of the Scarlet Witch. Interesting. And then Wanda passes out. But what's really cool is that the Hydra guys don't notice anything. Wanda's like standing there 1 minute and then she's keeled over the next.
And in the footage that they use, or that they're looking at, like when they're watching the video footage of when they're recording it, it cuts.
It cuts. There's no like, yeah. So she's so they take her back to her prison cell, which I guess has a TV. Cool. I guess, you know, Hydra sprung for the pay-per-view package. But anyway, she's watching sitcoms. And this helps to establish what I have long headcanoned before this show even started, was that Wanda watched these sitcoms as a child in Sokovia. And they were a source of comfort for her. And we see that as she and Pietro are lying underneath the bed, the Dick Van Dyke Show is still playing. And she talks about the episode where basically Dick wakes up and realizes that it was all just a nightmare. And so sitcoms become a source of comfort because nobody ever gets hurt seriously in sitcoms. Very rarely do characters actually die unless the actor passes away. And everything is usually resolved within that 22-minute span. American sitcoms aren't always funny, especially in recent years, looking at you, Modern Family. But there is humor, and there is a sweetness, and there is like an idealistic worldview where it's like, yes, there's problems, but if the parents are fighting at the beginning of the episode, they make up by the end of the episode, you know? Nothing really bad ever happens, especially in the older sitcoms. So it's understandable that this would be a source of comfort even when she's being guinea pigged by Hydra. So Agatha says that the Mind Stone amplified her probability power, which would have been extinguished basically. It's one of those, if you don't use them, you lose them kind of abilities. Like if you don't use your powers or develop them, you eventually lose them, which is kind of a parallel to how we learn languages, because like when we're younger, we're sponges and we can learn any language if we have access to the learning tools and things like that. Whereas when you're older, it's a lot harder to do. So then we go to the Civil War.
I just want to tack on to that point, because what you also don't know is, and I've noticed this in our past recordings and some people may have noticed this too, there is a slight lag between the two of us. So I actually can't really learn languages or understand languages, but one thing I can do is pick up accents, and I can actually impersonate the accents very well. So like if I try to say certain things in a certain style, like French or whatever, I can actually say it that way, especially when it comes to pronouncing names and stuff.
I've been told I have an ear for languages. So usually if I can hear a native person say it, I can repeat it exactly the way that they said it. There's skills. And like, again, when kids are younger, they're more susceptible to able to learn vast concepts. Like I said, kids are sponges. Like if you have kids, like really nurture their intellect, don't overload them. But find that thing that they love and help them to enjoy it more and like teach them things. Like, anyway, we go into the Civil War, or I guess actually in between Age of Ultron and Civil War, because we find Wanda at the compound. And what's really interesting is there are no crosses in the room, whereas early production photos of Civil War showed Wanda's bedroom, where right above her bed, it was covered in different crosses. We do not see this here. And I don't know if they're first of all, those crosses shouldn't have been there in the first place, Civil War. Like, what were you thinking? But there is no scenario where Wanda is remotely Christian in any way. She's pagan. She practices a form of Wicca. And even if she doesn't practice it at this moment, you could have just made her agnostic like you do with everybody else. Or just, you know, made her Jewish, because I would have been perfectly fine with that. Anyway, separate conversation. So we see this room and Vision walks in, or she senses Vision nearby and tells him to just come in. And Vision actually tries to comfort her and is really sweet because Wanda's still missing her brother and feeling all alone. And Vision is not fully understanding what she's going through, but he's trying to help. And he actually gets into Malcolm in the Middle episode. And they have this nice exchange. And he's like, oh, is it funny because he got seriously hurt? And Wanda's like, no, that doesn't happen here. Like, this is not that kind of show. And that really amplifies that you know, escapism that she gets from these sitcoms. So then we go into the SWORD facility, whereas, let me refresh your memory here, folks. Last we heard, Agent Hayward told us that the evil Wanda Maximoff broke into the very secure, totally secure, absolutely secure, very, very, very secure SWORD facility, where she destroyed SWORD and stole the Vision because she's a terrorist. Yeah, that was all bullshit. It really was, to the point of hilarity. Like, they literally let her walk through the door. She talks to the guy at the front desk and she's like, I just like to get Vision back and bury him. Like, and they're like, oh, we need to buzz you in. I need to like let you in with my badge. And one is like, don't bother. And she just like opens the door with her powers. So she meets with Agent Dickwad. I mean, Hayward. Whoopsies. Same thing. And she talks about how Vision deserves a funeral. And they show how they're basically tearing Vision apart to decommission him, quote unquote, because he's, you know, a weapon or whatever. And basically they're saying that they're dismantling him. And he's like, I can't just let you. And then this is where it gets interesting. He says, I can't just let you bury this amount, X amount of vibranium or whatever else you're going to do. And she's like, literally all I want to do is bury him. Like, she's very firm on that. But Hayward sort of eggs Wanda on about bringing Vision back to life, which we find out later, this is what he's been trying to do. But it's interesting though, that he has this expectation that that's what Wanda's gonna do. And we have zero basis for this knowledge. Nothing in any use of previous use of Wanda's power in any way implies she can bring back the dead, where it's android death or human death.
But he also kind of eggs her on by saying, like, turn the power on and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, it's really weird. And then he's like, she says, he's all I have. And he says, well, he's not really yours because they have this ethical and legal responsibility, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. So she comes down, she breaks the glass and she goes down to the lab. And she has the sweet moment with his head where she's like, I can't feel you. And that's just like so heartbreaking. And then she leaves without Vision. So not only did she not take Vision, she didn't break in. And even if she had broken in, she did not take anything. Meaning Hayward has Vision's body parts.
And he's always had it.
And he's always had him, which makes it, which somebody on Twitter pointed this out, is that then why was he trying to get there? Why was he tracking vibranium inside the anomaly, inside the hex? Because remember when Darcy was looking at the map, they're tracking, there was a tracker for Vision or for the vibranium. And he wanted Vision. He wanted Vision. They were talking about getting him back. Because this was against Vision's wishes, blah, 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 blah. We'll talk about the theories about that at the end. So Wanda doesn't take Vision. She goes and sits in her car, and there's an envelope. And then she starts driving to New Jersey, to a little kind of decrepit town called Westview. Like, it does not look happy. It looks like it's on its last leg. It does not look like a happy town.
It looks like New Jersey.
Yeah, pretty much.
Says the guy who's from New Jersey.
Well, it's like, you know, where the normal people live, not where the rich people live in New Jersey. So she ends up going into what would have been what later becomes her house. Except there's nothing but there's just like concrete. Like, it's the beginnings of a house. And she opens up this envelope. Vision basically bought a plot of land because this was the life they were, he wanted to build a life with her. And this kind of ties back into their conversation in Infinity War before Thanos' children attacked. And there's like a little heart around the lot and the paperwork, and the deed is in her name and Vision's. And it's just like so heartbreaking. And she kind of breaks down. And then as she kind of breaks down in the middle of this lot, funky things start happening. Like she kind of explodes internally. And all of this red energy starts coming out of her. And I have a magic explosion here. And she built the house. And also built Vision with like this yellow energy. And we know that Wanda's connected to the Mind Stone. So she's rebuilding Vision essentially with like latent Mind Stone energy, I'm gonna guess.
Maybe.
And she rebuilt him in this like black and white Dick Van Dyke style house. What's really cool though, is as she's as the house is being built, you see these like little puzzle pieces, which is a really nice nod to House of M. Whereas like a bunch of characters, like everything, there's like puzzle pieces right on the cover of one of the issues. And yeah, that's just kind of, and then we see this like, Wanda did create this, and the explosion carries over into the rest of the town. And then we see that Agatha has the twins and she's kind of holding them. And she says that her power is now chaos magic and spontaneous creation, and calls her the Scarlet Witch. And that's pretty much where the episode ends.
Yeah, so which also is, and this is where I texted you when I said, well, I was right about the last line. I was just wrong on the episode.
Oh, you thought it was going to be like the last line of the last episode?
Yeah, and it ended up being the second to last episode.
I think I think the ending is going to be Wanda in her superhero costume calling herself the Scarlet Witch. But anything is possible.
But at the same time, I mean, at the end of the day, I still technically called it. I just got
the episode
wrong. But also, like I said in the text message to you, was that it actually makes more sense to do it here than in the last episode, because now you just left the cliffhanger of the Scarlet Witch on her. So now it's like, okay, we see where this is going. You know, you left us on this cliffhanger, which then brings us to the mid-credit scene.
Speaking of the mid-credit scene, so Hayward uses the magic-infused drone that Wanda dropped at his feet, saying that this is the key to the power because every other power source they tried didn't work. And what are they doing? They use Wanda's magic to power up a white Vision.
Which is comic. Well, white Vision is a real thing in the comics.
In the comics, basically they rebuild, Hank Pym rebuilds the Vision, but Simon Williams, being a jerk who's in love with Wanda, decides, I don't want my brain patterns to be used again to give the Vision a personality and feelings and things like that. So they manage to power feelings. Vision. They manage to power Vision on, but he becomes a shell of himself. He's basically a functioning android who is all, and he's basically analytical. He's just a droid, basically. He's capable of human conversation, but has no emotions. And oh God, Wanda's gonna break down when she sees him, which makes me wonder if we're gonna get that scene from the Vision comic where the twins are there with Wanda and they're gonna go, Daddy, why are you white? I don't think Agatha will hurt the kids, but I wonder what her end game is, in the sense that like, she wants to, I guess, maybe harness Wanda's power because that's what she did to the other witches. So I mentioned the House of M puzzle pieces. Agatha's cranky because Wanda can do magic without study. How or why does Hayward think Wanda can bring Vision back? When did Vision buy the lot? My guess is it was before the scene with Wanda and Vision in Infinity War. Whereas like he was trying to like, let's just go. Let's start a life together away from all of this. And what's actually really cool is we do actually see Agatha's witch outfit, and it is a slightly color differentiated version, but it does a very harken, it harkens back to her comic book costume. As it should be noted that when she's like lamenting to Wanda, she's got the twins at the neck with her magic. And I'm like, what do you, just leave these poor boys alone, okay? They're gonna go through a lot in the coming years. Like, just leave them alone.
Yeah, and then you had mentioned Cameo.
Yes.
So I was reading something after I watched the episode, because unlike everyone else, I stay off of Twitter and Facebook and social media and all that fun stuff until I watch the episode, because I'm smart, because
I mean, I do algorithm. That too. And then I mean, just
algorithms and stuff. But anyways, one of the things I was reading is, as we know, leading into the series, Paul Bettany was doing a bunch of interviews where he was saying that there's this actor that he's been wanting to work with all of his life.
Please don't say Ian McKellen.
No.
Well, actually, no, he worked with Ian McKellen, so it can't be that.
He's been wanting to work with all of his life, not all of his career, his life. What did they do in the mid-credits scene?
Set up a white Vision.
Vision versus white Vision. Paul Bettany acting with Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany has been trolling us this entire time.
Except that there is still a confirmed cameo from somebody else that everybody's been talking about. So
we'll see, but Paul Bettany, in regards to acting with, he could have been legitimately trolling us the entire time.
I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit of a cop out, if that's true. Not going to lie, that's going to be disappointing. I have heard people are like, oh, what if it's Ian McKellen? It's not going to be Ian McKellen, first of all, because
I don't think it'll be Ian McKellen.
It's not, for the reason, first and foremost, that Ian McKellen and Paul Bettany actually were in a film together. So they've already worked together. Even if it was brief, it was in The Da Vinci Code. So also people whining that they didn't do the mutants. I'm like, nobody normal or rational for 2 seconds actually expected mutants to show up by Wanda. There is still one more episode left, but Marvel, I beg of you. I do not ask you for a lot. Just do not turn Wanda into the mother of all mutants. Don't do it. Don't do it. It does make me wonder, though, who Hayward is actually working for. Because, not going to lie, after the Sokovia Accords and all of that BS and Infinity War and Endgame, I really can't imagine the government would approve of him basically building Ultron 2.0. Or is it 10.0 at this point? So Hayward build a shady ass looking white Vision. Then we have the original Vision, or the sentient Vision, Wanda's Vision versus the blank Vision. Also, I'm still really curious who Pietro is, because he's not Mephisto. He's not Wanda, Agatha's son, and he's seemingly not Peter either. So it'll be cool to see who he actually is and watch him be like nobody. I'm going to say he's somebody ridiculous like Ilya Zarkov or something, just for funsies, because it's probably not going to be true, but I want to be able to say I thought I had a theory.
Well, it'd be interesting because, you know, going into this last episode, this episode that we have today, we did not see any of Jimmy Woo. We did not see any of Darcy. We did not see
Monica.
Or Monica or Vision himself.
True.
Like, we did not. No. Yes, forget the other stuff. I'm talking about Vision.
Present timeline. Yes.
Yeah. Present timeline. We have not seen any of them, which leads you to believe, okay, whatever is going to accumulate in this last episode next week, which we both pretty much agree that it's going to be like, I don't think it's going to be a double feature. I think it's going to be more like a movie. And the reason I say it's not going to be
okay
double,
with that.
Which the reason I say it's not going to be double feature, because as you're going over and I was doing the editing on the website, I was counting the episodes and I went, why is my math not coming up? And it's because when they first debuted the show, they did the double feature of the first two episodes, which leads me to believe they're not going to end it the exact same way.
Anything is possible. I can see them, you know, doing a long, they did say like the last couple of episodes were like a big movie, which I'm perfectly fine with. Like, I will sit here for 2, 3, 4 hours. Like, I plan to sort of, once everything is over and I've had time to like process, I'm probably going to rewatch the whole thing through, maybe either leading up to the finale or before or after the finale.
Yeah, and definitely one of the things I think is that I definitely think knowing that next week's episode will be the longest episode. It's gonna pack in a lot. They're gonna have no choice but to pack in a lot, because you have to wrap up the stuff with Darcy. You have to wrap up the stuff with Wu and Monica. Obviously, the stuff with Wanda and the kids. You need to wrap up what's gonna happen with both versions of Vision. So it's, and like, there's a lot that needs to be wrapped up.
Right. And we also know that the events of WandaVision tie into Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Which Spider-Man has the date of Christmas of this year.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how everything ties in together. We're definitely going to see, I think, more of S.W.O.R.D. My guess is they're going to switch directors. I like the sound of Director Rambeau. But where do you see the implications of that there? I'm curious where Pietro is doing with Monica and where they are in this, because seemingly Pietro, I'm guessing, took Monica somewhere where he's going to like meet up with Herb. It still doesn't rule out the idea of Agatha having a coven, because when Wanda arrives to town, we see Herb, we see Mrs. Hart, and we see Jones, and we see Dennis, the mail delivery dude. The only person left is that we didn't see is Dottie and Beverly. So they easily could be involved with this, some capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So just a matter of what we find out. So.
Yep. So this episode was absolutely bonkers. I liked going down memory lane. It was intense. I'm trying to see if there's anything.
There's no real trivia at all on this episode.
I'm just trying to see, because I write up my notes and then I sort of post my thoughts on Tumblr, as everybody knows who follows me on Tumblr. I also have this "Let's start with things I was right about" section, which I was right about Pietro not being Mephisto or Agatha's son. I was right about Agatha taking Wanda down a memory lane. I was right about us getting a "How It All Came to Be" episode. Because as soon as the first episode premiered, I was like, oh, this part that was in the trailer wasn't here. That means we're going to get a "How It Was Done" episode. Agatha wanting something in regards to Wanda's power. Wanda was the one that wanted to actually bury Vision, and Hayward being a lying dickwad. And Mephisto not showing up. And also I mentioned this a while back. I had a theory that Wanda's powers already existed and then were amplified by the Mind Stone. So thank you, Marvel, for confirming that for me. I'm ready for it to be over. Like, I'm mentally prepared for the end, but I really don't want it to end. Also, in regards to people wanting a season 2, I've heard a bunch of ideas being thrown around, and to be honest, they all sound kind of lame, no offense.
There's not going to be a season 2.
The only thing I could think of, and this is very, very big if, is that it kind of follows Vision a little bit more than Wanda, where it's about Vision sort of going on a journey of finding himself and maybe making friends with Wonder Man and then the whole Grim Reaper plot. Like, I could see that, but I'm not sure if that's an entire season's worth of material, especially because most of the things that were established in the Vision and Scarlet Witch comics, with the exception of Wonder Man and Grim Reaper and House of M, the Vision comic, and West Coast Avengers shenanigans, have already been established here. The only thing left is the twins. And if they fade away, I'm going to cry. But I've mentioned that in previous episodes. So
I highly doubt there will be a season 2 of this. There won't be a season 2 of Falcon Winter Soldier. So far, the only show that has a confirmed season 2 is Loki. But that's because Loki's apparently going a different course compared to the course of WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier, because obviously WandaVision feeds into Spider-Man 3 and then eventually Doctor Strange 2.
And Loki's kind of a little bit more of an isolated story.
Exactly. And then Falcon Winter Soldier feeds into you know, whatever they do you next know? With that.
I'm perfectly okay with that. Let's keep Loki in his own little corner forever. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Yes. Like, no, like, Loki stays in his corner and I never have to see him in the MCU again outside of the Loki show. I would be more than thrilled about this.
I'm not going to lie, though. The Loki show looks pretty good.
Oh, no, it looks great. I just really do not want to see Loki in the mainstream MCU, especially with people throwing theories around about how Loki's going to end up being Kid Loki. And I'm sorry, but if anybody follows me knows that Kid Loki can go fork himself. Because I hate his inclusion in the Young Avengers show, in any Young Avengers capacity, period, because he sucks. Fight me. I can't stand it. So with that, Michael, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on the Twitters at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, on the Twitch doing the gaming stuff at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and of course everything on txhthockey.com, and for the show specific /nerdy-notions. I get that done quick. Oh, and starting next week, Russell and I for TXHT will begin our run through Mighty Ducks, where we'll be covering the movies. So Saturdays will be double doses of episodes. At 1 o'clock, you'll be getting the TXHT Mighty Duck episodes. And then at 3 p.m., you'll be getting the Nerdy Notion episodes. So there you go. And then Sasha will play a backup role to Russell in case Russell cannot record on Fridays when Mighty Ducks is airing, because apparently he is in a band and they do virtual gigs right now. And I just looked at him and went, just do course, the episode, idiot.
On the off chance that I'm not here on Michael's show to talk about the Mighty Duck series, I will, of course, be blogging about it, because what else do I have to do? Grad school? Psh. But y'all can find me at Geeky Kaplan on Twitter, Geeky Captain on Instagram. It's mostly photos of my cat. And of course, geekgirl101.tumblr.com. If you're going to come into my inbox and be a jerk about it, I'm going to take your head off. That's just how I am. So thank you so much for listening, and join us next time where one of us will probably be crying, and it'll probably be Michael, as we say goodbye to WandaVision.
Oh, no, I only cry in the fetal position after work, not after watching a TV show.